T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
One stepped on the floor, two stepped out the-
We're back out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Buy now and save big during the grand reopening of the all-new Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Manny Navarro, who covers the Miami Hurricanes for The Athletic, joins us now. And Manny, it's funny because especially when I have Tito working with me, sports talk can sometimes take a backseat to talking about food. You should have seen the way Tito's eyes lit up when I mentioned to him that you recently dined at a Bennigan's. That happened, what, during Sacramento Summer League?
That's correct. I'm in Sacramento, yep.
And you had the Monte Cristo.
Had the Monte Cristo for lunch, and it was just as good as I remember it. And it had been at least, I don't know, it feels like 10 years since the Bennigan's.
At least, yeah, it's got to be like somewhere between like 10 to 15 years, because I graduated high school in 2003. I used to go there all the time when I was in high school. And even growing up as a kid, I'd go there all the time. Mm-hmm. And, it has to have been like around like 2005 or 2006 when they shut their doors.
Yeah, there was two of them that I remember going to often. The one off of Kendall Drive and like close to Kendall Town and Country Mall. And then there was another one close to Miami International Airport. And those were the two that I remember.
Nice.
And every time it was the Monte Cristo. So.
And I feel like I'm getting taunted by this Bennigan stuff, because like I remember we had a conversation a couple months ago about you going to Bennigan's. Manny, my sister and her family are over in the island of Cyprus, which is somewhere between Greece and Israel. It's like in the middle of nowhere. And They've got a Bennigan's there randomly, the island of Cyprus. They have a Bennigan's. My sister just ate there like a month or two ago, sent me a bunch of pictures. I'm so jealous and so angry at you and her equally.
Well, you can either go to Sacramento or you can go to Cyprus. I think Sacramento is where you probably prefer to go, right?
Oh, man, yeah, except flying to Sacramento seems like almost as much of a pain in the ass as flying to Cyprus. Do they have direct flights out to Sacramento?
No, you always got to get a connection somewhere. I usually go through L.A. and then just jump on another little plane to get to Sacramento.
Oh, I'll take my chances with Cyprus. But I do want to talk some Canes with you, Manny. Now, after what I saw on Saturday, it's hard to imagine, from my perspective, Mark Richt going back to Malik Rozier as the starter on Thursday night. What do you expect to happen? Do you think it's going to be number 12 or number 5 who trots out with the starters for the first series on Thursday?
No, I think it's number 5. I think, look, Mark Richt's been at this a long, long, long time. 34, 35 years he's been coaching quarterbacks. I think when you make a change at quarterback, you don't want to get involved in that game where you're bouncing between guys back and forth. You don't want to sort of bring a controversy upon yourself. And I think this was a matter of Mark Richt simply trying to find the right time to make the change. I think the way the season ended last year with Malik struggling, his accuracy issues being well documented, this was about when do you make the switch from one guy to the other so that the other guy is ready to go and you don't have to go back to Malik. I think this was all about that, and I think the torch has been passed. I think Nicolosi Perry, you're starting quarterback now.
I think that, and assuming that does happen on Thursday and Perry does start and the torch has been passed, like I feel like this has actually been handled the right way. I know that there are some people, Manny, who will text me and call me saying that, no, he should have started from the LSU game. But I can understand why Perry didn't. I can understand why, for a big opener like that, you would go with the more experienced guy. Now, assuming that Nicosi Perry does officially have the torch handed to him starting Thursday night, do you feel like Mark Richt handled this situation correctly?
Well, I think it will if Nicosi handles the situation well on Thursday, if he really is ready.
Right.
I mean, the only one who knows that is Mark Richt and John Richt. And I think, obviously, they've had a lot of time to groom Nicosi. They had all of last season. He put on weight, went from, I think, 176 to 195 or whatever it is he's weighing now. He spent a year in the playbook learning how to read defenses. So this is all a grooming process. I mean, this is the way they used to do it in college football. A true freshman didn't come in and start right away. They redshirted so that they could learn the playbook, and the head coach, when he put him out there, didn't have any reservations about it. And I think that's what the case was here. And I think Mark tried to make it clear this week that had Nkosi not been suspended for the opener, maybe we would have seen him against LSU. I don't know. I think that situation just played out the way it played out, and then it became, okay, when is the right moment to pass the torch? He was going to play against Savannah State no matter what. That was a guarantee. Then it was a decision of, do you start him, do you give him his first career start on the road at Toledo? I think Mark was sort of wrestling with this decision back and forth. I don't want to put him out there on the road. So he decided, okay, third series against FIU, a game we should dominate, that was the time. And I think that's all this was. I think Mark knows deep down inside who the better quarterback is. He's seen it in practice day after day. He's seen it in the games. Nkosi's the more accurate passer. He gives receivers a chance to do something with the football because he can hit a guy between the numbers, and that's what this team needs. They needed better quarterback play, and we all knew that from watching the first few games.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I was a little bit surprised that Perry came out there in the third series of the FIU game, and it's only because Malik did play pretty well, very well against Toledo, right? So just given the circumstance, now if Perry had really continued to struggle against Toledo, nothing would have shocked me at that point. Did that maybe give you a little pause? Malik's performance against Toledo, did that make you think, hey, maybe they keep rolling with him until the wheels fall off?
No, that's why I think philosophically, I think this was always in the works. I think Mark knew at some point or another he was going to have to pass the torch. This program, look, it needs to move forward at some point here. Malik sort of has his limitations. I think had Malik and Nkosi come in at the same time, and they were freshmen at the same time, Nkosi would have been the starter. The issue was Nkosi came in last year. You couldn't play him. He was too skinny, didn't know the offense, couldn't read defenses. So he needed that full year. I think Malik is at his best a solid backup quarterback, a guy who could fill in and as a starting quarterback at the collegiate level. But on a major, you know, top 25 team, I don't know how many teams Malik starts for just because of his accuracy issues. So I think this was in the plans by Mark all along. It was just about finding the right time, the right moment to put a young quarterback in there who needs confidence going into ACC play. And I think that's what he got last week. I think everything Nkosi did, you talk to his teammates, you talk about the way that he's running the huddle in practice now, the way he was running it at the end of the FIU game. This was about a kid needing the right moment to break in, gain confidence, and then now, like I said, it's a passing of the torch. It's now his team.
We're joined here by Manny Navarro, covers the Miami Hurricanes for The Athletic. How much do we know about Amon Richards' health and when he gets sort of reintegrated and put back in that offense?
Well, I'll tell you what, if he's preparing for the Tour de France, he's going to do really well. I see him on the stationary bike day. He's ready to go in the Tour de France. I don't know if he's ready to play football, and I don't know when he's going to be ready to play football. I think the fact that he's still on the bike, those bone bruises, those aren't easy to deal with. I mean, Hassan Whiteside covering the Heat for the last 3 years and seeing what Hassan went through with that bone bruise and how painful it is. I don't know how many people have experienced a real bone bruise in their lifetime, you know, being weekend warriors or whatever, but that is a painful, tough thing to sort of overcome. And if you're a wide receiver who's cutting on a dime, who has a history of injury issues, who's thinking about the NFL, all of those things, you're not rushing back. You're not rushing back. And I think that's what you're seeing with Amon Richards. He's taking his time, and they're being patient with him until he gets better. And then look, it took Hassan Whiteside a long time to come back. So, and look, Miami's, they're so loaded at receiver between Jeff Thomas and Harley and Cager and all the guys who are making plays and all those freshmen that they've got on this roster. You're not hurting at the wide receiver position. If Amon Richards was your one guy and you absolutely needed him out there, maybe there's more urgency in this situation. But I think Miami's so stacked at receiver that they're letting Amon take his time with this.
What about Jaquan Johnson at safety? What's his health status?
I saw him today with a wrap on his right hamstring off to the side. He's not going through any practice, at least not during the media portion. So I think he's out this week. I think those hamstring strains, you got to be careful with them. And Jaquan means so much more to this team. He's a guy that, you know, that position at safety, yes, you've got some depth with Amari Carter, but Taquan Johnson's an All-American. He just takes you to a different level. So I think they're being patient with him as well. Amari, I thought, and he was one of the guys I wrote about this week. I thought he played really well. He only got 25 snaps in that game because they got some of the other guys in there, Smith and so forth. But I thought he played excellently. He baited the quarterback on one throw, almost came up with an interception, made a tackle. He's sort of being groomed, or he is being groomed to be Jaquan's replacement, and I think he did a fine job, and he's going to do a fine job against North Carolina too.
You know, we were reading some stats earlier, and the third down numbers, both on defense and offense, but especially offense, are looking a lot better. They're trending a lot better than they were last season. Is that, you know, should I maybe take a step back and realize, well, they're only four games in and they've faced some inferior opposition? Or is there something from the quarterback play with Perry, the offensive line, the presence of a fullback? What can you say about third down improving for Miami?
Well, when you run the football the way they've run it the last three games, I mean, they've run for, I think, close to 250 yards in every single game or more than that in each of these last three games. And obviously a lot of that has to do with the level of competition. That said, I think that there's more of an emphasis on the run this season. You're seeing, you know, you got two battering rams back there in Travis Homer and DJ Dallas, two guys that can, you know, make it third and three and third and two instead of third and six. And so they're just running the ball better this season. Will that continue against, you know, a team like North Carolina, who's got ACC defensive linemen? I don't know, but I think it's certainly an encouraging sign. I think the play calling's been a little bit more about, hey, let's get in third and short instead of trying to hit the big play. So I think that's the difference that we're seeing. But you're right, we're going to have to see once, you know, they start playing some really good teams here in the coming weeks, or teams that are certainly better than what they've played so far, if that trend continues.
You know, only 2 days away from the North Carolina game, they've got suspended players back. This is still a game Miami should win. How do you see the game playing out, Manny? Do you have a predicted score or anything like that?
Well, Miami's offense is to me, the last 2 weeks, it's really been encouraging. Obviously, Malik played well at Toledo, and then Nikosi had his performance. Assuming Nikosi starts, which I'm about 99.9% sure that's going to be the case.
I like that. I'll take that because I'm only about 90% sure. So I will take your 99.9.
Yeah, I think, to me, this offense, it hasn't shown a whole lot. There hasn't been a whole lot of trickery. There hasn't been a whole lot of creativeness. And I think a lot of that has had to do with Mark Richt trying to keep things simple, you know, focusing on running the ball. I think Miami can have success running the football against North Carolina. They didn't have much of it last season, but this offensive line, for whatever reason, the last couple of weeks has started to really do a much better job opening up holes. And I think Miami's got two running backs now. Last year, it sort of became an issue once Mark Walton got hurt, and it was only Travis. I mean, DJ Dallas is running the ball really, really well. So I think the Canes win this game probably by two touchdowns. I think something like 31-17, same thing like last week against FIU or something similar, you know, 30-16 or something like that. I think the defense is just playing on another level right now, the way that they're stopping the run. Carolina, you know, their offense obviously has been missing some guys because of suspensions, but this defense up front has just been phenomenal. And as long as Gerald Willis is on the field, I think it's going to be really hard for anybody in the Coastal to beat Miami.
Love it. And Gerald Willis is a tremendous player and a tremendous story this year. Manny Navarro covers the Miami Hurricanes for The Athletic. Manny_Navarro is where you find him on Twitter. Thank you so much, man.
Good talking to you, Alex. Take care, buddy.
Always.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.